vision.
The world outside your window may be a little spooky right now, because at least in the world of WandaVision, it's Halloween. Here on Potion Recaps, it's not. But we're talking about Halloween anyway on a very special episode of WandaVision. Actually, Kevin, I believe last week was the very special episode.
Correct. Last week was a very special episode. This one is, I don't remember what the title was.
It's an all new Halloween spooktacular.
Awesome. Perfection.
An all new Halloween spooktacular, Kevin.
Josh the 90s.
Oh my God.
Josh the 90s.
We went full 90s here in a way that I don't think I had anticipated, Kevin, that we were going. The Malcolm in the Middle route was a surprise to me.
A welcome surprise. I really, like, the moment it started, I was like, oh my God, is Malcolm in the Middle? And the intro was so spot on with the effects and the music. The music, Josh. Yes. It's so, so grunge 90s. And just completely spot on. And then the moment it started going with the kids talking to camera, and like Pietro was such a good fit for that, because of like the eldest brother living with them for a while in there and being a bit of a doof. I thought like it was so great, and like the costumes and the hot, like, the 90s. It's so weird to be like, I kind of missed the 90s because this was just so ridiculous in so many ways. But man, I kind of miss it. I kind of miss it more than the 80s. Oh God, am I a 90s kid? I might be.
You are a 90s kid. You were barely alive in the 80s, Kevin.
Sure. I missed.
Yeah, you're a 90s kid.
I was not forming memories for the majority.
Not in a real way. No, we're both 90s kids. So of course this was very nostalgic for both of us. Kevin on Twitter, because there was a lot of chatter about this being the best episode of WandaVision yet. I'd like to talk that through, but on Twitter, I put out a poll asking, was this week's WandaVision the best episode yet? There is only one correct answer. And I placed it in a poll. There are four possible poll options on Twitter when you create one. And the choices were yes, no, maybe, I don't know.
There is only one possible
answer.
And what's
the correct answer? Yes.
Can you repeat the
question? Yes, thank you. So, Kevin, you joined the very small list of people who properly answered this question.
Come on!
This was a bit, guys.
You're not the boss of me.
It was a bit. The whole tweet was a bit. But we'll get...
Well done, by the way. Very well done.
We'll get into that question. Of course, it's Kevin and I this week. Unfortunately, LaTanya cannot make it this week. LaTanya did pass along some thoughts on the episode to me. So I'm going to read these right off the top. This is what LaTanya wrote to me. She said, "Hey, everyone," Spider-Man style. "Hey, everyone, it's me, or is it? I felt this episode with the force of 1,000. What is he going to do? Die twice? Hex blasts. Also, Hayward is clearly evil, possibly working for Hydra. He's incredibly aggressive and just a dick." LaTanya continues, "Monica is a better person than I, because if he'd have brought up my mother's death to tell me I wasn't fit for a job, he'd be on the floor before he could finish the sentence." She finishes by saying, "Also, oh my God, Wanda's powers are as magnificent as Elizabeth Olsen's acting talent." So those are the hot takes from LaTanya this week. And I co-sign just about all those things. If Hayward is working for Hydra, I'm not sure, but we'll get into all the possible Hayward stuff here this week, Kevin.
Yeah. There's a lot in here. I definitely want to talk about the Hayward stuff, because it was really interesting considering what I was saying last week about how they might be taking him and my feelings on that. So definitely interested in getting into that. But I think there is one thing we should probably talk about more than anything else.
Okay.
That is Pietro Maximoff's hair in the costume.
I love the costumes on everybody. Everyone looked great.
I loved it. I mean, like, we've been winning because, like, we've seen the GIFs. We share it all the time in the Discord.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Olsen sort of doing, like, the shoulder dance in the Scarlet Witch getup is very, very popular in the Potion Recaps patron community.
And it's great. Like, the costume looks awesome. It looks, you know, great on her, as does the Vision's costume. I love the explanation of the luchador, you know, approach to it. And then, you know, if that wasn't enough, you had Wiccan showing up in his Wiccan costume.
Yes.
And then you had Pietro throwing on the Quicksilver classic costume, which we have not seen, and having Speed in it as well. I believe in the comics his version was green, but like it's right there, which is great.
And just again, to break that down for people, like Wiccan, Speed, That's Billy and Tommy, Vision and Wanda's kids, who in the comic books become young Avengers known as Wiccan and Speed, respectively. And they look to the part, Kevin. Their costumes for Halloween are basically the spitting image of how they're illustrated in the comics.
Absolutely. And their powers manifest the same, like the same powers that we see, right? Like, of course, Speed has Quicksilver's super speed, and Billy has Wanda's kind of witchy powers, but a lot of that comes through like communication and premonition almost. And then we see that here. We see it sort of happening. So it's really cool to see that. We were expecting it. We were kind of anticipating, is this heading towards the route of possible Young Avengers? And I think we are, unless something terrible happens and these kids no longer exist at the end of this.
It's a possibility, Kevin. It is worth considering.
Yep. So that was all really cool, but my favorite bit, and this is something I think if you've been listening to Everything is Super, we've sort of discussed, especially in Spider-Man, where comic book characters are drawn with certain hairstyles that just aren't real. And like, when you think about what they look like in real life, you're like, that look real dumb. And this Quicksilver one is the perfect example of it. Like, you look at the costume and you look at his, you look at his hair and you're just kind of like, oh yeah, that would look real bad IRL. Like, it looks fun on the comic book page, but in real life, it'd be really silly. And I hate to say it, but at the same time, you know, I do think a lot of updates to superhero costumes and movies can get very busy from a design standpoint. But like, if we're going traditional spandex style, I think it is a weird look. As fun as it is to see Quicksilver in that and the Vision in his and Wanda in hers, it would be real weird if that was just their costumes on a regular basis in a live action big budget movie.
It would be odd.
And they're just running around.
Would be odd. All right. So we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got just an outstanding amount of different things to get into here this week, whether it's Halloween costumes or not. Kevin, I think that this probably was going to be an actual Halloween episode, would be my guess. Because of all the shifting schedules stuff, WandaVision was supposed to come out in the fall, I believe. Maybe. I might be making that up. But I feel like they probably were timing this to be a Halloween episode, no? Like, to be, like, actually timed to Halloween?
It's quite possible, but honestly, that's not far off from, like, what happens on sitcoms, too, right? Like, they always try to time it, but for some reason or another, if an episode gets pushed, it comes out weird, right? Like, I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's happened a few times, and sometimes they've course-corrected where they've filmed it to be like, okay, well, we didn't make the Halloween, so it starts in Halloween, and now it's, like, you know, New Year's, now it's Easter, and, like, so the episode jumps. But usually that's the case. They always try to aim it for Halloween, and maybe that was what they were planning. We don't know the original release date for WandaVision, because Marvel's been pretty close to the chest about a lot of that stuff, but it probably was going to be around fall, if I had to guess.
Yeah,
if you look at the schedule.
Yeah, but either way, it totally works. I mean, it certainly adds to the surreality of the show. I'm trying to think, like, there's a lot that happens this week, although there's a lot of like digging into the trenches of the story as well. That I don't know where you begin. Do you begin with the expansion of the Hex? Is that sort of the big thing? Is it like, do we want to drill into the weeds of what the hell is Project Cataract? Do we want to talk about how, yeah, looks like Vision can't leave that bubble, otherwise he's dead? Do we want to talk about how Quicksilver himself, Pietro, is also seemingly a Marvel zombie?
A little sus also, in my opinion.
All right, well, I would love to talk that through, because I've seen that take from people, and I'm still trying to, like, chew on exactly why. We want to talk about the fact that The Incredibles exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Kevin, because you see it on the marquee, Pixar's The Incredibles.
You also see, I believe they were watching Night of the Living Dead, which I believe is in public domain, so that doesn't matter, but I believe that's what they were playing, and kids were running around, and I'm like, that's an interesting movie to have for kids playing in the background. But there is an element there, right? Like, the idea of people being zombies in this show, playing a movie about zombies, I think that's obviously very purposeful. I think that's totally on there. The Incredibles is also, I think, a cue, right? Like, these are going to have kids with powers. And The Incredibles is about a family of people with powers. And so we saw that here. We saw the kids getting their powers in this episode. I think the show, as mentioned, is not accidental in its background stuff. I think it's very purposeful, and I think a lot of it is like a little bit having clues, you know. I think some of it are red herrings. I do still think that the Agnes of it all is a bit of a red herring. But
do you think this episode made you feel like there's more to Agnes than meets the eye, or that we've been overblowing it and she may just be a victim as well?
I feel like she might be a victim as well, and maybe she becomes something a lot more dangerous afterwards. That can lead into the theory about like what this hex is going to do, because I think there is something there that we can talk about. But I feel like Agnes is a victim, and I think she is a victim that could be on the way to becoming a villain. And I think that would be really interesting and really cool. So that's something that we can talk about. I mean, I think as a quick something to talk about before we get into like the meat of it, right? Like, I do really want to emphasize two things about this episode in the 90s of it all. I mean, I talked about like the humor, which has always been spot on. The flashbacks and asides, I have to call out.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that it's so weird because it kind of happens still in sitcoms, but that was such a quintessentially 90s thing where they would say something and they would flash to a moment and like show the short scene of it. And I loved it. I mean, I think Malcolm in the Middle did a bit of that, but also it was such a staple in Grounded for Life, which is an underrated sitcom starring Donald Logue that I really, really liked. And I would recommend. So it was just really cool seeing that. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about that was very 90s, that commercial, Josh.
Yeah, Yo Magic.
Holy crap.
Yo Magic.
The claymation of it all was there. The, like, ridiculous shark. The idea of the Yo Magic yogurt. Mm-hmm. But then, the creepiness. That commercial, I wrote down, like, that woman with the tear was the scariest thing I saw that we've seen. And then that commercial happened, and I was like, never mind, it's this commercial. This commercial is the creepiest thing I've seen.
Yeah, this kid just can't, like, can't get the magic open, so he dies.
And, like, I think there's something there about the idea of, like, you're alone on an island and suffering, right? Like, and dying, essentially. Yeah. I think there's something very much there about Wanda and what she's going through and how she felt after Vision was gone. I think there's a lot there that's going to be subtle. What these commercials mean and stuff going forward, I'm still a little bit like, I think maybe we'll figure it out. It might just be like, these are just subconscious explanations of Wanda's journey in life and like what she's going through. Maybe there's more to it than that. But in terms of like an actual 90s commercial, no, the claymation threw me back, man. Holy crap.
It was
crap.
Cool.
Like,
it was fun. Yeah, definitely hit a certain spot. But I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued on your comment about the way things may be changing based on this episode. And certainly, you know, so Vision is still on the path. He thinks that he, you know, he remembers everything. He hasn't been wiped by Wanda here. At least he remembers that things are amiss. He doesn't remember everything. Very notably, I think, is rather alarmed when Agnes tells him he's dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead.
What's an Avenger?
What's an Avenger is a question. You're dead. And he tries to free himself from the bubble. Doesn't try. Gets out of the hex.
Mm-hmm.
And in a really funny nod to The Incredibles, actually, it probably would have died if not for the fact that he had a cape. So a little bit ironic there. Maybe Marvel taking a shot of like, hey, sometimes capes are cool. Sometimes you do want a cape. Sometimes it tethers you to the reality where if you escape it, you'll die. And Wanda can't get there fast enough because she finds out from Billy, whose own powers are seemingly activating, because you see that Tommy has his uncle's super speed. Billy seems to have inherited some modicum, at least, of his mother's abilities. And he's sensing that something is wrong with Dad. And Wanda, in response to that, expands the hex because she's not fast enough to get there, but she can broaden this reality to protect the person she loves the most. And in so doing, has probably done something very, very, very scary and certainly transformative to the world around her. We hear, or at least we know, that like if you pass through the hex once, you change. Like, do we think that this is like the gateway towards mutants? Is basically the question.
So, yes, I feel like this is confirmation time. And again, maybe this is a red herring, but specifically saying your cells are changing, that so they're mutating. Your cells are mutating, yes, is what you're saying here, right? Like, that's what I think is being implied. And I think the idea of like mutants are coming is for real. Literally my name says right now, the mutants are coming.
So Monica Rambeau is theoretically the first mutant.
Well, I guess technically Pietro and Wanda, right? Because we don't know what they did. They experimented on them. They probably mutated their cells. But yes, I think Monica could be one of the first mutants. I think that this is leading credence to the fact that, one, the people in the town could become the mutants. Two, if she's able to expand that bubble, it could lead to, again, mutants happening across the globe, which I think is a better thing than just a small town in America. Because, like, come on, guys.
Sure.
It's a global, yeah, it's a global
course,
thing.
Of course.
So I think there's a lot there, and I have a couple of wild theories, right? So since we're talking about the changing and we're talking about the mutating, I think that line really is solidifying it for me, where her cells are changing. But the thing, one of my theories that could be really insane, that if we really want to confirm it, right? Well, two things. One, Darcy's in the bubble, so Darcy might become a mutant, which would be amazing. Yeah. So I'm into that idea. Jimmy Woo and Monica going in, like, Monica already is mutating, right? Like, Jimmy Woo might have powers. Who knows? Jimmy Woo is a character from the comics. I would love... This episode really, really makes me want to have that spinoff now with Jimmy, Darcy, and Monica. Like, give me Agents of Atlas with these guys, right? But... My weird, wild theory. I don't know if it's true. Everyone's talking Reed Richards, right? Everyone's like, Reed Richards is the friend. Reed Richards is the
someone's
one.
Someone's coming, yeah.
Someone's coming. And everyone's like, Reed Richards is the person, right? And that could make sense, obviously. They mentioned cosmic rays. If Monica's cell has changed and Reed is very close friends with Monica, that could be the impetus of, like, we need to research cosmic rays, which leads to what turns the Fantastic Four into the Fantastic Four. That is obviously an option. A crazy idea I had is, what if this friend shows up and this friend was named Dr. Hank McCoy?
Mm.
And he enters there with them. You get Beast.
Mm.
So there is a possibility here, right? If there's a number of reasons why they're going to be holding it a secret. It could be nothing, again, a red herring.
Oh, Kevin.
It could be that it's Reed Richards, or they're holding it because it's Hank McCoy, or any number of science-based X-Men, really. And that is the confirmation. If Hank McCoy shows up, even as a human to start, the X-Men are here, kids. So I think that's a wilder theory. I love your Jonathan Majors theory. I think that's a high possibility as well. People are talking about the John Krasinski of it all, also a possibility. There's clearly a lot that could be happening. And I think
I love this.
The worst answer is nothing. And I feel like there is a concern there. That's also leading to what
It's going to be a nothing thing. They keep talking about the astrophysicist. This is a weekly show, so now we've got like 3 weeks where we've been talking about, all right, who is it? Like, this is Kevin Feige is smarter than that. Like, this is not on the show unless there's a payoff. The question is just, like, what's the magnitude of the payoff, I think.
Right. And the magnitude at this point, because it's a weekly job, is that it has to be big.
Yes.
And I think the red herring could be the Agnes thing, right? But here's how I think it loops around. I think Agnes is not doing well. She's not taking this well. She's not taking what's happening to her well, understandably. If this thing is mutating people and changing them, I think the Agnes that we're seeing could become the witchy Agnes Harkness, could become the villain. The possible villain that we that they might become in this world.
Got it.
So this could be how that happens. So all our theories about, like, it's actually Agnes Harkness could be true, just not yet.
Right.
And once the mutation happens, because we're gonna have to have some evil mutants in this world. That's how the mutants work, sort of. Depending on your POV. But from my perspective, it's the other mutants that I've anyway.
Anakin.
So, like, I think there's so much there, right? This bubble expansion thing and the changes are huge and the implications are crazy and wild. And we're going to find out soon. There's 3 episodes to go. So I think the big stuff is coming. I was actually hoping this episode was going to end with the friend showing up with the name of the friend as a big, like, wabam. But I think the expanding bubble is also solid. It felt a little abrupt when it happened. I was like, oh, is that the ending? Okay. But it's still a big moment. It's still a huge moment to see the global implications of what Wanda's capable of.
I will say there has been a lot of this, like, this was the best episode yet sort of discourse. It did not feel that way to me watching it. I don't know if I'm on an island on this one, like the kid who can't open his Yo Magic. I loved this one because I've loved all of WandaVision, but I feel like we've had a couple of stronger episodes than this. And like in response to the tweet that I had put out, a bunch of people being like, yeah, of course this is the best one. I'm like, all right, I'm glad that landed that way for you. But I feel like for me, this felt like, a little bit chess piecey, which is never an issue for me if it's executed well. And I thought it was executed beautifully here. But a lot of this is like, for me, this episode this week has just like raised a bunch of questions. One of which is like, what are the ramifications of the Hexplosion? You know, like now that this thing is blowing up, is it going to grow even bigger? You have to, I have to think yes. I think the answer to that is like, obviously this is going to get huger. How is this going to tie into the multiverse stuff? Because it feels like Quicksilver is not the X-Men Quicksilver, right? Like it feels like the Quicksilver here is just like a recast of the Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver.
It's quite possible. This is another one that's definitely talk about, right? Like to me, when he showed his powers, I'm like, okay, I guess it is Quicksilver. It's not just someone in a neighborhood. I think the suspect thing, right? When he was talking to Wanda in the Hay Maze, the extremely easy Hay Maze for any adults because I can just look and see, like, this is the way we go.
Right.
He was probing a lot. He was probing for a lot of answers. He was trying to get answers to questions. And that seems... It seemed less like just a concerned brother and more like someone fishing for information.
Like, how did you do this?
Right. So there's a lot in there that makes me think Quicksilver is sus. But Kevin's wild theory number two, and this one's the craziest theory.
Can I guess? Is this guessable?
Maybe.
Super Skrull?
I discussed...
There, Super
there
Skrull.
You go, my
okay,
friend.
So what is Super Skrull? Well, lockstep. What is Super Skrull? Talk about Super Skrull.
So Super Skrull in the comics is a Skrull. Essentially, Skrulls can shapeshift and all that, but Super Skrull is one that basically is able to mimic powers, and it mimics the Fantastic Four powers at one point. So he can shift his hand to be stretchy and have a rock fist. He can flame on certain parts. So he's a Skrull that essentially has superpowers and is able to mimic it. And so my theory is this could be setting up very much so Secret Invasion, right? Like, there are Skrulls, Skrulls exist, Skrulls, there are bad ones, and Quicksilver could be that. There's a lot of questions. Is Hayworth a Skrull, right? Is Hayworth one of the evil Skrulls? Is a possibility. So that is the easiest solution is in terms of like what the theories could be is that it's a Skrull. I don't, the problems become, why didn't the Skrull just make themselves look like Aaron Taylor Johnson, right? Which, by the way, the Kick-Ass reference in this episode.
Very funny. Yeah.
I thought it was so great.
The line drop of Kick-Ass, and for those who don't know, that not only are Aaron Taylor Johnson and Evan Peters the two actors who played Pietro Maximoff in Avengers Age of Ultron and the X-Men films, but both actors also appeared in Kick-Ass together.
Correct, as friends.
Yes, as very close friends. So that was great. I thought that was wonderful too.
So that all said, right? Like, where's my crazy theory? And this is the craziest theory possible. So buckle up. When we watched Far From Home, and we did our first podcast on Far From Home many, many, many moons ago, we talked about the... Spoilers for people who haven't seen Far From Home's
like
post-credits.
In 2019 when we talked about Spider-Man Far From Home? Do you remember that far back?
I remember this because it was a crazy theory I threw out. We talked about the post-credits scene because a certain character shows up. J. Jonah Jameson shows up. And it's just like, oh my god, it's J. Jonah Jameson and J.K. Simmons who played J. Jonah Jameson in the other Spider-Man films. This could have been really crazy casting, sure. My craziest theory at the time, because we knew Multiverse of Madness was coming, is just like, what if this is a Skrull pretending to be J. Jonah Jameson because this is the version of J. Jonah Jameson from another reality. So they mimic that one.
Right.
Because that's the one that's seen. So here I'm looping this again. Wild. I do not think this is accurate because it's so crazy.
Fun to talk about.
Fun to talk about it. What if the Multiverse of Madness is happening and these Skrulls, the evil Skrulls, we have the good Skrulls in our world. What if the evil Skrulls are from another world? Mm. What if these Skrulls are from the worlds that are gone and they are mimicking the version of the character that they know and exist?
Well, this is
the reason why
eventually
it looks like
Evan
Peters.
Yeah, it's going to get a little fishy eventually. Like, it's a kind of useless power after a while because we're like, well, you're not Quicksilver, you know?
Yeah, right. So, like, and then, but it doesn't work for Quicksilver, but it works for J.K. J. Jonah Jameson, because maybe he doesn't exist in this world, but now he does.
Right.
So I feel like there's a lot of ways you can mess with it, you can play with it, you can do crazy things. Again, that's the wildest of theories. I don't think they're going to do anything that nuts, because it seems weird to be like, here's the multiverse, here's Skrulls from another universe, yada, yada, yada. It's much easier to just be like, there's some evil Skrulls in this universe, and this is one that is a super Skrull and is fishing for information from Wanda through this. It's super weird because, again, like, the Evan Peters, I think, works really well in this, and he clearly knows more than he lets on, right? Like, everyone else who has shown up into this lose their memory and are different. Why hasn't he? Why does he still know? Why is he still asking these questions? So there's a lot of stuff in here that, again, a lot of mysteries, a lot of things. I think there's a lot of theories. I think some of them you have evidence of. The Pietro stuff, it's up in the air to me. We don't know. There's not been enough breadcrumbs, I don't think. The mutants one, I think there are. And I think we're so hyped that if it's not at this point, that might be really bad.
It really depends on what they actually give us in its place, I think. But right. Like, this makes a lot of sense for this show to be the vehicle with which to bring mutants into the MCU, considering that Wanda and Pietro were crossover characters to begin with. And because Wanda has that infamous No More Mutants thing, it's just subversive and it's right there, and it's honoring not just like comic book mythology, but frankly it's honoring cinematic mythology now as well, to have that happen through Wanda specifically. So I suspect that this is where it's gonna go, because I think also, like, this then becomes the kind of thing where, like, we know the Ms. Marvel show is coming relatively soon, I think this year, in fact. Is she a mutant, right? Is she a mutant because of, you know, I know in the comics she's an Inhuman, I believe.
Right. But we're not doing
well,
that.
Well, Marvel,
those are
Marvel
gone.
Really dropped the ball on the Inhumans, and that is now, like, you can't pick that back up. You can't try and redo that, I don't think. At least not yet. Maybe someday. But now they've got mutants for like all the way down the line. They got mutants. Do they pivot and they, you know, have mutants be the thing? And especially with Monica potentially being one. Is she somebody who can connect hard with Ms. Marvel? I think could be really compelling. So it really does have to, if it's not mutants coming up, it has to be great. And so it's, you know, the expectations are very, very high, which is scary, but fun. And it's why I'm glad we're here able to, like, just like live with the idea at least, for a little while. It's fun. It's just like fun brain food. Is there a version of this, Kevin, where this is just cards up Quicksilver, and this is just, you know, a brother and a sister talking and him like wondering, how'd you do it? Or is there a version of this where this is a Quicksilver from another universe and he knows he's in another universe and he's trying to like suss out from her, like, how did I get here?
I mean,
like, is there like a double speak version of like when they're talking about their parents and stuff like that?
It may be, but this is the hard part, because if it is Quicksilver from a different universe, the Quicksilver from the universe that we're talking about, and this could just be a universe of another universe, the multiverse is wild and crazy, why does he know anything about Wanda? There's no Wanda in the other universe. So there's a lot of questions there about what he knows, what he doesn't know, why does he know certain things that he wouldn't know if he was from the other universe. There's so many possibilities, a multiverse of possibilities, that are there. Could this be a recast completely? I guess so. She had that vision of him, like you said, riddled with bullet holes and dead, a zombie version. But the zombie version wasn't Aaron Taylor Johnson, right? Like, it was Evan Peters. So if we're going off of she's reanimating dead bodies, why does it look like Evan Peters? Is she molecularly changing?
Right.
Just because she couldn't deal with seeing her actual brother dead?
Which would, you know, maybe, which would fit with the mutant stuff, right? Like, you know, the ability to just like molecularly change a character.
For her, but like, and Tenothy Apocalypse, I guess, but he doesn't change, he changes his own stuff. But like, yeah, it could. That just feels like, to me, in a show that's going really out of its way to like fine tune everything, feels like a real hand wavy way of just being like, we didn't get Aaron Taylor Johnson,
right?
Like, and that to me is not. I would rather a different explanation,
sure.
Just because it's so weird. I don't know. It's also so odd that if that's how it continues afterwards, that she wouldn't just change him back, just because, like, I don't know. Maybe he's gone after this. We never see Quicksilver again, but it would just be weird as a person who has siblings, you know, a sibling, it would be weird to be like, and even now I have this power, I just will make them look like someone else. I don't think that's a decision that makes sense from a perspective of people with siblings all the time. But
yeah,
who knows? Who's to
it's
say?
It's also kind of an odd storytelling thing, too.
It's super weird. Yeah. It's super weird. And I like it for what we're getting. I like it for this, but they really got to hit the explanation
I agree.
Well enough afterwards. And this is one of those things. They're juggling a lot of balls in the
multiverse
air.
Multiverse stuff and this already, could, like, it's a little hard for me to, like, wrap my head around how you have Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire are all Peter Parker. Like, that's already a little tough for my brain to grasp. I will eventually be able to probably just allow it. But if we're not even, like, bringing in multiversal shenanigans into it, then I'm kind of really lost.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the struggle that they're going to have to work through. The multiverse, and this is where the multiverse becomes dangerous. I love the multiverse. I love it. I love the concept of it, right? But I specifically love it also when they are separate, because it allows for you to tell all these stories and not jumble them together too much for people who don't quite get it or who haven't been following all this stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, why are there all these different versions? How does this make sense? I think that's where the multiverse gets problematic. And that's what we've seen from certain companies under certain people being in control of them. Just makes a mess of it. And the multiverse gets nuts. Yeah. But for me, I like the idea of having these different versions and able to explore different types of stories. It's like What If. The What If animated show coming up is allowing to me the cool things of the multiverse, where you're allowed to see these other worlds, and it's not like necessarily like immediately all of a sudden Haley Atwell, Captain America, or Captain Britain is going to show up, because it's just like, what? This doesn't make any sense. Why are this person here? So yeah, it can get real weird real quick, and I'm not worried, but this is, as a person who, you know, has consumed so much media, and get ready for this reference, I'm worried about it being a Lost or a Battlestar instead of a Watchmen, if you shall. Where one of them, I think,
I'm
set up all
so
the pieces
cool right now. Oh my god!
One of them set up the pieces properly and paid off what they were delivering, and it felt really great.
Right.
And the other one decided to shift because too many people guessed it, which is nonsense and ruins your storytelling. And then the other one had no idea where they were going and just juggled all these balls in the air, hoping that they were going to catch some of them. And most of them fell on the floor and people had opinions about it. So
which
I feel
one was
like
that?
This is, I don't know, Josh, it's hard to figure out and parse from my previous feelings about certain episodes of those shows.
I'm going to fight you.
Yeah,
offline.
Well,
I'm going to fight you.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm coming to California. I'm gonna fight you.
So I hope it doesn't head that way, but I'm worried a little bit. They're juggling so much, and I really hope they catch all of them. There's so much cool potential, and
because it's bigger than just a
Kevin
project.
Feige.
It's bigger than just a project. It's bigger than just a show. What they're trying to do is they're taking a huge leap forward, and I've said this before.
A leap forward. A step forward in the evolutionary process, maybe?
Yes, a mutation. You know, they're mutating. The MCU is mutating potentially, and
yes,
that's awesome. And it's great. But it seems like they are, if they're going in like the X gene direction and bringing in X-Men, and they're also trying to do some Fantastic Four stuff and multiversal shenanigans, like, cool, great, awesome. And you did Thanos and you did Endgame, so I believe you can do it. It doesn't mean that your heart isn't in your throat a little bit as to whether or not, like, will the plates land and continue spinning as the act suggests they are supposed to do? Or will something bad happen? But that is like the delight in this part of the process, I think, you know?
It really is. To relate it to something that we are very familiar with right now, you especially, Josh, and what's happening right now in the post-show recaps Discord, in which you can join by going to the Patreon.
Patreon.com/post-show recaps. Patreon.com/post-show recaps.
And join us in what we've been doing, which is D&D adventuring. We have an entire D&D game happening. And like, the reason I'm bringing this up for people who might not get the other world,
it's also because Kevin wants more friends to play Dungeons and Dragons with. This one,
I want to play Dungeons and Dragons all the time. Yeah, guys, it's not a joke, it's crazy, and I need help. But in D&D you have skills and you have abilities, right? And you can have your modifier that you're like, I'm gonna roll this 20-sided die and I need a certain number, and you're like, I have a +8. There's no way this can go wrong.
Sometimes,
right?
It goes wrong.
And sometimes you roll that dice and it comes up a 1 and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so I think right now we're excited. We're like, all right, they can do this, and the dice is rolling and you're just biting your nails in anticipation of where it's going to land.
Sometimes the
and
dice
you're really
break
hoping.
Bad.
Exactly. So I think that's where we all are right now. We're three episodes to go. That's where we all are right now. And this isn't even touched on the Hayworth of it all and the other parts of it.
Let's shift into so Hayward has this project Cataract, which is pretty on the nose with Vision.
I can't see anything. Yeah. I got these cataracts. And
they've had tabs on Vision. They've been tracking him. Do we have thoughts, feelings, possibilities? Is Hayward more than just like a bureaucratic bad guy? Is he more than just like a dude in a suit who's kind of a terrible person who is talking about his colleagues in demeaning ways that Jimmy Woo is going to have to like stand up and be like, don't do that.
It's not even, I like that it's not even, don't do that. He didn't play his game, right? He's trying to like make his joke and want a funny response. Jimmy just shut it down with the like, you know,
we don't have time for that.
If you're finished diminishing your coworkers, which I think is just such an awesome line, and just Jimmy Woo, just great moment. Yeah, so I think that's the moment too, for me, right? Like this conversation is coming up and LaTanya brought it up as well. Last week, and I wish it was a little more complicated. Maybe there's more to him, right? Maybe there's more to him than, and he's a Skrull. Maybe he is just a bureaucratic guy, and Vision's an asset. Vision is an asset for S.W.O.R.D. Like, he is the world's first artificial intelligence.
Right.
And a powerful one at that. That is an important asset, and someone stole it. So you're going to want that back. So I get that from just a bureaucratic man process, right? The thing I didn't necessarily like is that for the last episode, again, I could see where he's coming from for a lot of it because I could understand that. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But I feel like they wanted to shut it down in this episode. And so they threw in this line about like bringing up Monica's mom. And it's just like, okay, so he's a villain. Like the end. Like, there are tricks writers do to make sure that you feel a certain way about certain characters. They do it with heroes all the time. Save the Cat is the most famous. How do you want immediately for your hero to be acknowledged as a good person? You have them do a good small deed. The old tradition is saving the cat. You can do lots of things. Helping an old lady across the street immediately establishes this is a good person. I should like them. This is an easy line to throw in to be like, this is a jerk face asshole and I don't like them. So I think they put that line in there really just kind of like, yeah, he's a bad guy.
Right.
Which I do think things takes a little bit wind out of the sails of like possible discussions we could have, because it's hard to be like, well, he's clearly a villain. And when you side with a villain, you're sometimes going to have trouble when they're that much of a dick. But that's my biggest issue there, right? With the Hayward stuff. But could he be more? Maybe. Maybe he could be a Skrull. They could all be Skrulls. Skrulls could be everywhere. It's a secret invasion.
Right. A lot happened in 5 years. And I mean, they keep mentioning that. And I'm so happy that they do. Like, they keep, and like, I think Monica's the one who's like, don't lean on that as an excuse. But a lot could have happened in the 5 years. And like, critical people who could have been monitoring stuff are gone. We watched Nick Fury and Maria Hill disappear, right? Mm-hmm. So like, who left? Who left? And was supposed to have a watchful eye on some of this stuff, and who snuck in while we weren't looking. So I think like the idea that, and we know that Secret Invasion is coming, like that project has been announced. So whether or not it's like Skrulls or the Kree, cause Nick Fury mentions the Kree, in Far From Home, you know, but you have to remember that that's a Skrull that is saying those words. So like, you right. know, it's Talos, not actually Nick Fury. You know, I think like it is worth wondering where all of that fits within all of the Marvel projects, frankly, for the time being. So is Hayward a Skrull? Certainly would make some version of sense. Does feel a little obvious. Does feel a little obvious. So I do think that there's just a world in which like, he's just kind of like an overwhelmed D-bag. Yeah. That is also possible, that this guy just kind of sucks. And also he's got a lot on his plate. And so he and any sense of like civility or decorum is kind of out the window, considering the stakes of everything. And also could be the kind of thing, and whether or not it lands, your mileage will vary, where like he seems to be outside of the hex blast zone right now, right? Like him
yes.
and Jimmy and Monica seem to have escaped the hex for the time being. Is the kind of thing where like the show wants us to not like him that much right now, so that when he does some sort of heroic sacrifice, like, you're surprised.
If he does.
Right.
If he does. You know? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just a jerk. And which, also, again, a possibility. I think, you know, there's not as much writing on the line of that one. Like, that's a juggled ball that I feel like you can catch that pretty well.
I feel
well.
Like the show, like, wants us to be really sus of him to a point where, like, I think, like, it's a look over here. You know, it's like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. So you're not going to get, so that you're forgetting about Agnes, or you're forgetting about Quicksilver, who could be a Super Skrull. Or I know a lot of people still feel like Mephisto is a possibility, given like how the devil, the literal devil, plays into some of the Wanda backstory. I'm still having a hard time mapping that onto this.
I agree, but the clues are there, right? Is this hell? You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Are we all dead? Like, you know, the idea of, like, repeating the same thing over and over again at the edges where they're just doing the thing, that is very much, you know, Greek mythology Tartarus situation where people like to pushing the boulder up the hill. You know, that's a classic, right? So you have a bit of that here. You have a bit of people just doing the same things over and over and unable to escape. So there is a lot of that there. If Hayworth ends up being Mephisto, it'd be really, I mean, like, if anyone ends up being Mephisto, it'd be really weird. Again, you got 3 episodes left. It could land. It could land. And, I can enjoy the experience of watching it. But, you know, in my usual way, if I'm breaking apart the fan and the person who's just consuming the media from the person who tries to analyze and look at it from the storytelling standpoint, I think that's a huge mistake. I think bringing in a villain like that at the 11th hour is not great storytelling.
What makes more sense to me, Kevin, is if, like, there's like a post-credit scene at the end of this thing and Mephisto is like, oh, that Wanda person is someone to do some stuff with. That was crazy. Right. And then, like, that follows into Multiverse of Madness or something like that. I think that's sort of to the spirit of, like, what you're talking about with, like, Agnes, that she could be Agatha Harkness, but not yet. Like, I think, like, Mephisto could be involved, but not yet, I think is probably my preference.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to go with it, right? Like, your villain of this story, I think, is Wanda Maximoff, and I think that's fine. I think that's okay. And they're leading to some crazy stuff, because you see what she's capable of. And if there's one thing to make you feel urgency, is putting your heroes, who seems to be your Monica, your Jimmy, and your Darcy, and your Vision, against something that feels insurmountable. And I think that's being accomplished by showing what Wanda's capable at the end of this. I think this is, if you are looking at it from a structural standpoint, we're heading into the end of Act 2. We're heading to the climax. This is the big moment. This is the, like, all seems lost. And I think we're hitting that right now.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, because you also, you know, speaking of Vision, something I did notice in this episode with Vision, I talk about how much I love Captain America as a great analog to Superman, and I do agree with that 100%. I think the character really embodies a lot of how I see Superman to be treated. But if you look at the idea of, like, what is Superman full stop in the way that he has mostly been presented, Vision's Superman.
Yeah.
His moral compass is unwaverable from the moment we met him. He is the goodness that is able to lift Mjolnir and not even think a big deal about it, and be modest about it almost. He's able to provide information in a way that is just like, we need to do what's right. And this was the most Superman-y things. One, in the scene where he literally flies up into the air with the cape and listens to the surrounding around. I'm like, this is straight out of Superman. This is straight out of Chris Reeve. This is straight out of, like, Brandon Routh. This is Superman. And when he goes out of that bubble and he's being ripped apart and he is dying, what he says is, you have to help them, not himself. You have to help them. And that is the most Superman-y thing that could be done. The idea of, like, this isn't about me. If I'm dying right now, it doesn't matter. You have to help the people in there. That's what's important, the people. That is Chris Reeve at the end of, you know, in Superman 2, when Zod and everyone is smashing stuff up, and he's just like, you have to stop the people. I think, or, you know, have to stop, comma, the people. It's so Superman-y. And to me, I really like that, because it's really funny at the same time where a lot of people talk about how they don't like Superman. I'm like, if you like Vision, I got news for you. You like Superman.
Right.
So I really liked what they're doing. I really, really like what they're doing with Vision. And it's kind of cool seeing that really click something in my head about it and about the character. And when you have a character that's as powerful as Vision, And if he's your hero of this story, if it's Wanda, if it's Wanda V Vision, and they missed a V and it's just WandaVision, you have to put your hero, who is Vision, against something that seems insurmountable. And I think someone, the power level of Wanda, who has the connection that they have with each other, it's a hell of a story right there. That's a hell of a climactic battle.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors for this episode. When we come back, let's dive into some feedback.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Kevin, let's get into the feedback for this one. This is from Josiah, who says, I'm kind of sad we jumped all the way to 2000 for a Malcolm in the Middle parody. I was hoping for some Full House Olsen vibes with cool Uncle Pietro. Kevin, do you wish that we had done a little more in like the Miller Boyette realm?
I mean, maybe. We got a lot of it, not a lot, but we got a touch of it, right, in the Family Ties / Growing Pains era. Would I have loved straight Full House? Yes, that would have been really interesting, but as a person also who, it would have felt a little, because Full House and Family Ties and Growing Pains all had the same tonality, right? Like, it's a very special episode. The music starts at the end. We have to all learn a lesson and we'll talk and we'll hug about it. Like, that is very Full House. So it felt like they would have rehashed territory a little bit. I liked how they did it with Malcolm in the Middle. The goofy uncle is a thing that's also part of that era. It's Malcolm in the Middle, as I mentioned, where it's the older brother or eldest brother. It's Grounded for Life, where Donald Logue's brother, who is, I'm blanking on that actor's name.
I am as well, but he's in The Departed. Like, he's been in a ton of stuff.
He's in The Departed. Yeah. He's in Fringe as the last Sam Weiss. Yeah. He's in Community as one of the best characters, the drama teacher. I love that character. But it is something that existed at the time. So I do think it pulled from that. And it wasn't just, it's so weird because the show also, I understand what you're saying.
Kevin
about
Corrigan.
Thank you. Kevin Corrigan.
I did
Corrigan.
The look.
The show seemed to be doing the late blank to the early blanks. So there is crossover. So like what we saw last time was like the late 80s to early 90s. And what we're seeing here seems to be the late 90s to the early 2000s. And so it would not be my surprise if the next episode is more like Modern Family, where we're leading into the late 2000s, early 2010s. And they established the idea of talking to the camera here, but now we're going to get the faux documentary style, which would be real interesting. Especially if you have people who are like Darcy, who are in this world and now have to talk straight to camera about being confused about being in this world. I think it's there. I think that's where they're headed to next. So I agree, but I like what they're doing. I like the jumps. I can't
have everything. It's just too hard. There's just so much out there that would be impossible. Another one from Josiah, continuing on something that you just said about Darcy. Josiah asks, do we think that Kat Dennings is literally going to become her Two Broke Girls character?
I hope
that'd
so,
be very
right?
funny.
That was a joke I wanted. I think I made it where it was just like, I wanted her and Jimmy to go in and Jimmy would run a restaurant and she would be their waitress and they're just their characters from sitcoms, which would be so funny.
I think it's a possibility at least. All right, let's get into some more Pietro stuff. So the great Jason Curtis Rivera wrote in and said, when introduced, Uncle Pietro remarks about Vision, who's this popsicle? Implying he doesn't know who Vision is. But then he recounts his Age of Ultron death in which Vision was part of the team. So let's get some predictions going on what's up with Pietro. To that point from Jason specifically, Kevin, does Pietro really know Vision at that point? I guess did Pietro interact with Vision in Age of Ultron? There's like the big hero shot in Sokovia. Yeah. I imagine they're all there, right?
They are, and I think they would have crossed paths briefly, but they wouldn't have had conversations.
Right.
Actually, he knows what Vision is because he is the one, when they're arguing about what to do, about whether or not to bring Vision to life, he literally rips all the things out and is just like, oh, I'm
so
sorry, were
suspect.
You guys talking?
This is suspect. He should know. So the great Riley chimes in Riley thinks this is what's up with Pietro. Pietro is the Fox version of his character, but Wanda put her Pietro's memories in him. And at some point, when Vision sort of does that brain zap, he's going to have the memories of the Fox Pietro. Riley thinks that Wanda is seeing her memory of the dead Pietro and putting it on him. He still has the personality of the Fox Pietro, and as he brings up, she lets people keep their personalities.
Whoo! That's a real quick way to turn Pietro into his original villainous self in the comics. When Pietro and Wanda were first introduced, they were, in fact, villains as part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. If you want Pietro in this world to take that route, to be mad, to be kind of a bad guy, finding out that someone messed with his memories and ripped him from his universe and threw him into this one is a good way of doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting, Riley. That's really interesting.
All right, this is a wild one from Kyle King. We've had a lot of wild theories on here.
About to say, I threw out some real crazy ones, so let's do this.
This one is really wild. You ready? This is from Kyle. Kyle says, I think Evan Peters is Reed Richards.
That is wild.
Kyle continues, Monica mentioned a few episodes ago that she knew someone that could help, an aerospace engineer. A lot of people, myself included, believe this to be Reed Richards. Monica mentions this episode that she needs to get to her guy on the ridge, implying that her guy, maybe Reed Richards, is already in the area. My thought is that Richards showed up, and Monica briefed him on what's going on, and he figured out a way into the hex to do some recon. This version of Pietro knows stuff he shouldn't know, like Vision dying, but also doesn't have the whole story, like what exactly happened during their childhood. I think Monica knew that Wanda would trust Pietro to give him insight. Why else would Pietro be asking stuff like, how'd you do it? Another thing is, when asked about who Pietro is, Monica says it's Wanda's brother without even a second thought and doesn't call out that he's a different brother. Darcy does. So there you have it. I think Evan Peters is Reed Richards, and he was a clever casting choice for this show. That's the Kyle King theory on Evan Peters being Reed Richards.
That is a wild theory.
Would the super stretchy stuff help in him being so fast?
That's the thing, right? Like, the idea that the super speed doesn't really
track. We have to explain the super speed, I think. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be a wild theory. But again, I just threw out the joke that he's a Skrull from another universe. So
I think it's too risky to play Reed Richards as anything other than fairly straight up. Like, the thing that you get to do with Reed Richards is, like, maybe surprise us with the casting choice. Even if John Krasinski is not a surprising casting choice because he's been number one on the call sheet for all the fan theories surrounding Reed Richards since, I don't know, forever. So it's not that it would be surprising about the casting choice, but the surprise of, like, the arrival. But then also, like, who are some surprising casting choices? Like, I think, like, those are, like, the things that you can do with a Reed Richards reveal. But the reason why I think doing it with Evan Peters would be way too risky, because he's already Quicksilver. There's already two Quicksilvers, and now you've got Evan Peters, who's now playing a Quicksilver and Reed Richards, you know, is a lot to put on a character who has never been done successfully in the big budget realm. And Marvel wants Fantastic Four to work. And I think that it's too complicated to put on the Fantastic Four.
It's too complicated to do it. And I think you also, when you introduce a character to go into the whole writing thing, when you introduce a character, you need to introduce who that character is really quickly, so the audience is able to grasp who they are and they understand that character and what their whole deal is. You introduce Reed Richards in this way, it's not Reed Richards anymore. And I think this idea of, like, he infiltrated and he's being sneaky and subterfuge is not Reed. That's not how Reed plays. Reed is a very different person, a very different personality. And if you do that here, it sort of hammers that this is who Reed Richards is when it's not.
Right.
And I think the idea of Hirsch, like, when if it is Reed that does show up, we're going to find out exactly what type of person Reed is very quickly. And he's going to be, if I have to guess, a very hard science curious person. I think that's the way it's gonna have to go for Reed, because it wouldn't be right for the character. Like you said, there's just so much writing on it that the Fantastic Four has to work after so many failures it's hard to assume that theory makes or tracks.
More in the theorizing realm, this now stemming through Agnes. Austin writes in and says, great episode. but it's completely thrown me off for some of my theorizing, especially with regards to Agnes. For the first time, she showed up in the opening credits, which feels like a big deal, but then we get her Norm-esque moment in the car that felt like she was just another townie. Maybe if she's a bigger player like an Agatha Harkness, Wanda's power is getting strong enough that she's losing control of her own power. Ariel also adds, I read the Agnes scene as either she's completely faking it there or Wanda's powers are getting too strong for even her. But you don't bring in Catherine Hahn just to end up being net random. Kevin, more and more, though, I am liking this idea that, like, it's not that Catherine Hahn is in here for being net random. And you can both have it being that she's, like, authentically having this reaction with Vision and that she's wearing the witch costume because she's not yet the witch. She's becoming the witch. It's on the way.
Correct. I think that's the way to track it, right? And as fans, and again, this is where early on we don't have the info.
Might be that
we
she's just baking it and she's a witch. It's totally possible. But I think the thing I like the best is what you've put out there.
But yeah, and like if she's just, again, it's all about how are you laying the groundwork and writing the seeds. A lot of people have talked about, like, well, she said this line in the thing about, like, oh, tricks up sleeves and stuff, and like, that's suspect. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think her, take it from the top. I think everything she's done has proven to me that she is a person and a victim and is trapped. And the idea of just, like, she's been faking it all along, I'm just like, wow, the best actor in the entire universe got sucked in here then, I guess. And I don't think the groundwork is laid. I think people and fans, as we are want to do and totally works, are reading into it, but we are coming from a perspective of we know this, who this character is in the comics, but we are not looking at it as that is who they will become in this world because we haven't seen them yet.
Right. Let's talk about Vision. Both Tessa and Riley think he's going to die. Tessa says Vision's definitely dying for good at the end of this. Riley says this is a victory lap for Paul Bettany. He's going to be dead again at the end of the show. But the great Corey B throws this out there, Kevin. Vision crossing the barrier. Are we sure that it's because he's dead and he can't leave? I admit it's likely, but just pointing out that to my recollection, we've never seen anyone leave without Wanda kicking them out. And everyone keeps saying that you can't leave. Maybe it's just that it keeps everything in. So is it possible that this is not unique to Vision, I guess, is the question. Like, because we've seen Wanda walk out, but she's Wanda. She's controlling the Hex. Right. We've seen Monica leave, but Wanda let her leave. We've never seen anyone just leave. So are we putting too much on, like, this being Vision leaving and he can't survive out there? Or is this, like, this is what happens to anyone who tries to get out of the Hex?
I think it may quite possibly anyone who tries to leave, because you also have, as Catherine Hahn was stopped, it's because something stopped her. Like, she froze before she could make it out of that hex. And I think there's a level of protection there where it's like, no one can leave. And if you do, maybe there's a failsafe and that's what happens. I don't think we have enough info there about what's going to be going on and how that's going to work. But I'm curious to see it. I really hope they don't kill Vision at the end of this. That would be very sad. But it's a high possibility. I think we're also in a situation where it's going to have to be one or the other, I guess. Because if I'm not mistaken, they talked about Captain Marvel is powered by an Infinity Stone, but she's also powered by the Space Stone, right? It was from the Tesseract.
Right.
So I feel like we're going to lose Quicksilver for sure then. Because if we're heading into a territory where all of a sudden you have characters in the Marvel Universe, each of whom is going to represent a power based on one of the Infinity Stones. So you have Wanda with reality, you have Vision with the mind, you have Captain Marvel with the Tesseract, and then you have Doctor Strange with the Time Stone. You're just missing two stones at that point, right? The Soul and the Power Stone. So all you need to do is find out who filled those slots, and all of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, we have a series of people who are all avatars of the Infinity Stones. I don't think you can have two of them. So if Captain Marvel still exists, which she does. I think Quicksilver is the one who might not be long for this world, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. One more thing in the feedback as we're talking about the implications of the Hex. This is from Brenna saying, I worried about them yada yadaing how Monica only gets powers from Westview. Would that then mean that everyone else dies? Does Darcy get some changes, since if she survives, she'll also have gone through the Hex twice? Or is the subsequent ins and outs that will propel Monica? I think this is what we've been talking about, and Ryan echoes this, Kevin. Ryan says, I'm 100% in the camp that everyone inside of the Hex is going to become a mutant. With Monica's lab results saying her DNA was changed on a molecular level, that screams mutated. I think that's where we're going.
I think it is. And again, Darcy is immune into it. Like, Darcy is anything that, and it's so funny because again, what writing can do. I was not a fan of the character that much in the first and second Thor, but I'm loving the character here. And so give me more of Darcy. Give me more of Jimmy. Give me more of Monica. Give me Agents of Atlas. A Marvel love.
What is Agents of Atlas, by the way?
Agents of Atlas is essentially a superhero / spy group in the Marvel Universe, led by Jimmy Woo, who is an FBI agent, as is presented here. And they are essentially like the, man, how do you even describe this? They go on a lot of like weird missions. They do a lot of like the almost like classic adventure story type stuff. The roster changes a few times. It's hard to remember exactly who is in it. But famously, I think recently, it was Greg Pak, who's a phenomenal writer, did some great arcs with Agents of Atlas. So recommended reading there if you're curious about who the Agents of Atlas are. But Atlas stands for something, and Marvel loves their acronyms. So I don't remember exactly what ATLAS is, but it's one of those, another acronym in the Marvel Universe, along with S.H.I.E.L.D., S.W.O.R.D., AIM, and there's more. There's always more.
Three episodes left. Three more weeks of WandaVision before we start talking Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So obviously the MCU stuff remains lit, which is great news. We love to see it. I don't know. Anything from this episode we didn't touch on that you want to... Like, is everyone dead? Are all those people at the far reaches, are they zombies? Are they like, have they all been unearthed from graves and are moving around? Is there anything like that? Is this going to be Marvel Zombies by the end of this?
I hope not. That'd be really weird to do in this universe. The kids got yada yada'd over in a way that I was just like, okay, I guess that's fine.
There's suddenly all these kids something. Now, and we don't really know why.
Well, Pietro theorized that it's just like Wanda kept them asleep because she didn't want to put them through what was going on with the rest of them. But now that she needed them, she brought them back, which is both like kind and malicious. So just par for the course in terms of like where her straddling the line between good and evil is being. So that could be the yada yada over it, which is like, all right, I guess that's an explanation. Which again, sometimes the solution is simple. Other times it's going to be more complicated. It depends on like what the balance is there for that and what we're getting. Because if we get a very simple, like they were just asleep the whole time for like some of the bigger things that we're talking about, you know.
Right. Right. Oh my God. I'm really excited. I wonder, do you think that we're going to get the astrophysicist thing? Is that coming next week? Is that like finale material? How long can they keep putting that off? I don't think they can keep putting it off for too much longer.
They can't. And I personally, like I said, I thought it was going to be the end of this week. I think it's got to be next week. If I'm just going off of like, how long can you hold something close to the chest before people just get fed up and just get annoyed? I think it's next week. I don't think you hold that. And especially if you keep mentioning it for two more episodes or three more episodes.
It starts to become, do you want to hear something great, Kevin? This is going to be me dissing Lost. Perfect. It becomes in season 4 when they keep talking about, who's your spy on the boat? It's like, no one would reasonably ask that question over and over again. No one cares who the spy is. You've got a spy on the boat. Okay, that's the answer. They're never going to stop down and think, like, who is it? Is it someone we know? What are the odds of that? And yet they kept asking the question and kept bringing it up over and over again. It's my least favorite thing on Lost. And I feel like this is
because
going
they
to...
Wanted,
it's
yeah.
gonna, it, because it's false. It's false mystery building. And, like, I think that this is going to veer into that territory if they don't, like, give us something relatively soon, because she said like an hour away, right? Like very close by.
And you also have a situation.
Gotta be next week. Has to happen.
It's gotta be. And you have a situation also, because again, we're existing in a world where everyone's talking about this, right? So you have everyone theorizing, you have everyone being like, it's Reed Richards. And maybe it is Reed Richards. And if it is Reed Richards, you need to say that now. Because like, if everyone's figured it out, you can't wait super duper long before revealing it, right? Like, I think that's the key. It's all about the pacing of stuff, and this is a weird one to throw way back on here. But if you want to Game of Thrones it in a way,
sure.
If you read the books, by book one, you probably, like, I figured out, I was like, oh,
this thing,
know,
yeah, Arpacelli equals Jay, yeah.
I figured out the big thing. But what they did and what was smart, and what George R. R. Martin did in the books, because it's not in the show and to that extent, is that he paced out information about what that means. We assumed the answer, but what the answer entailed. that it wasn't just a kidnapping, that there was more here, that this, that there was a melee that in which these two characters met and there was a love story. Like, it becomes something different. And I think that's what's missing here. We just know there's an astrophysicist. So you either need to give us something else or reveal the answer, or else we're just going to be like, ugh.
Another thing that's like a side effect of COVID ruining all of these schedules, all of these like intended release schedules, though, is that this show would have come out before Mandalorian season two, I think. And so we live in a post Mando season two world, and post Mando season two, like the big thing again, just, I'm sure everyone knows by now, but I'll just protect it. But you know, the big thing at the end of Mando season two. And so now, like, they got away with that. Like, we're inclined to think that it's a big thing now. Maybe before we lived in that world where Mando season two pulled off the thing it pulled off at the end of, the finale. Maybe we're not thinking quite as big as we are, but now it's almost like we expect it has to be at that level. So anything else is going to feel disappointing. I think one way in which, like, maybe we're getting sort of like the Mando season two effect.
Yes, but also with Mando season two, it's about the timing, right? Because they didn't introduce this. They didn't introduce the idea of that until episode five or six, right? When he met Ahsoka Tano. Yes. In which case, that idea was presented of a big thing at the end. And it was paced out properly, and then we got it in the right time. The idea of the astrophysicist came a little while ago at this point, I think. Maybe last episode? It just feels like a little while, I guess. But you gotta do the right amount of time before you do that reveal and do the thing. And then people will be like, great, we got it. So I think that's exactly it. You can't wait to the end of the season for this one, I don't think. That's one card you have to play at a certain time.
Oh my God. I'm really excited. I'm loving this show. I'm really hyped to see where they're going to take it next. We got 3 weeks to go with three more fun conversations to have about this show, but the Marvel stuff keeps on coming because we're straight into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Basically, we'll figure out a thing to do in between the end of WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There's one obvious thing on the calendar, but I really don't want to think about it. Hey, if you want to talk to myself, to Kevin, to LaTanya, to anybody who you like on the Post Show Recaps Network about WandaVision and superheroes and comic books and stuff, just think about it. Patreon.com/postshowrecap. Sign up at that Discord level. We are all extremely online and available for conversations. We love talking to people about all this nerdy stuff in between podcasts. So it is something for you to consider. We love having you there. Kevin wants more people to play Dungeons and Dragons with. I would like that as well. That would be fun. Come join us in the Wario Casino. Take a chance. Participate in some of the Brant Steel simulations we've got going on. Different than, it's kind of a hex in its own right, the world that we're living in the Discord. So consider signing up for all of that. Follow Kevin on the Twitter bots. He's at Kev Mahadeo. Kevin, you got anything else going on? No, I don't.
No, but, ever since being on the Discord, especially recently, I've been talking about writing a lot more. I hadn't updated it in a long time, but I have updated my blog, / website blog. Nobody uses that word. My website, which also has a blog on it where I post, where I post content that I create.
Yes.
And I've been working on just a fun script for a comic book. It's not drawn, so you have to read. I'm sorry. But, a fun script for a comic book that I finally started updating it. Two parts are out. I'm about to post a third part this coming week. I also update with the actual comics I have published that I wrote and I worked with artists to draw and appeared in anthologies. So if you want to check that out, do so at themahadman.com.
All right.
You can find it there. You also can follow me on Twitter and you can see the link in my bio.
Yes,
for that.
At Kev Mahadeo and themahadman.com. When you said read, I thought the pun Reed Richards. And that just got me thinking one more thing is that they had the Incredibles on the marquee. That's a family of four. That's a fantastic family. And one of them has stretchy powers. So I'm just saying.
People have talked about the Incredibles as the best Fantastic Four movie that ever happened. And for right now, that's accurate. So
I'm pretty hyped on your idea that it's Hank McCoy would be really dope. But Reed Richards is definitely where my head is at. That they have somehow like sneakily cast Reed Richards. And if it's John Krasinski, that's fine. That's great. That'll be fun. But I think it could be a little more exciting than that. I think we could stretch outside the box a little bit. So I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see where it goes. All right. We'll be back next week with more WandaVision. Until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is WandaVision.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.